Hi, you're listening to the Go Time Podcast with Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and I'm Pastor Brandon. Go Time stands for Global Outreach Time, where we share about the amazing things that God is doing through Impact Church in our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. To get involved or find out more information, check out our website at impactfxbg.church. Thanks for listening.
Right now, we're going to go into our go time, and our go time starts for Global Outreach Time, where we talk about what we're doing locally and globally. And, you know, the reason we do that is, you know, people are working, people are going to school, and it's a chance for you guys to know what's going on and what we're doing through Impact, and maybe something that you want to get involved in. And today, or yesterday, kicked off Social Worker Awareness Month, and so I have Project Belong, and so I'm going to invite Rachel, Janine, Josh, and Jackie. It's all good. It's all good. Give us a quick introduction of who you are, what do you do, so everybody knows.
Hi, I'm Jackie Brett. I work for the City of Fredericksburg Social Services. I'm a program coordinator. I'm specifically the resource foster parent coordinator.
And I'm Josh Myers. I work for Project Belong under the Don't Go Alone program, and my role is a mentor coach where I primarily focus on making sure that the mentors of our program that support our youth have the support that they need from us as well as their local church.
Hello, my name is Janine Myers, and this was my husband, Josh Myers. And I have the privilege of serving as the Fredericksburg Area Director for Project Belong. So I work specifically with City of Fredericksburg and Caroline County, and I work with their families, with their churches, help churches get engaged in foster care and adoption ministry. And then I also serve as one of our directors of minority engagement. And so I specifically work with predominantly Black churches throughout Northern Virginia and help them get involved in this work as well.
Hi, I'm Rachel Pollard. I do the same thing Janine does for Spotsylvania County, Stafford County, and King George. And then I also have the experience and background to be able to come alongside parents and churches to serve children from hard places in a trauma-competent way. So I work to make sure that the parents feel supported and do any parent coaching they need, as well as come alongside our church partners to help train your volunteers and staff to do the same.
Excellent, excellent. And big shout out to Josh. Even though he's been volunteering for years, he just got on staff. So, you know, big shout out to him. Yeah. So how did you guys get involved with Project Belong?
So I'm a foster and adoptive mom. We adopted from foster care in Georgia in 2010, and our church was lovely and loved us but didn't know how to support us. And so my husband and I kind of had to stumble through our own way and make all the mistakes and hit all the potholes. And so we decided to learn more about how to do things in a trauma-informed way. And so that started our journey into supporting other parents, starting support groups and that kind of thing. And I had the opportunity to partner with Project Belong to do that. So that's where I'm here.
Excellent, excellent.
So for me, foster care is something that I have been passionate about for a pretty long time. As a child, I grew up seeing different like clips and segments of kids that were available for adoption. And for whatever reason, that just really resonated with me, and it really planted a seed in my heart that God has just kind of continued to water and grow over time. And so when we got married, we had a baby, and then a month later we decided, hey, let's be foster parents. And so we've been doing that on and off for the past 3 or 4 years, and so it's been an amazing journey. But I actually ended up getting connected to Rachel and getting involved in some of the work that she was doing, which then kind of led me down this path to Project Belong.
And then for me, my parents actually, when I was about 18, 19, became foster parents, and that opened me up to a whole different world that I just wasn't aware of. And so that planted a seed for me. And then when I met Janine, that was something that we both had in common. And I think that's the only reason why she married me. But from that point on, though, what I actually recently, like Franklin said, I just left. I worked at Amazon Web Services for 7 years. And I left there 2 weeks ago because the calling on this was much more important than the financial gain that you can get somewhere else. And so working with the youth from this program, some of the things that they've gone through, incarcerations and et cetera, has really left an impact on me of like, this is gonna outlast anything that we do at work. Money comes and goes, but these lives don't.
Amen.
So I was actually a business major, and my neighbor approached me one day back in 2008, and she was a social worker, and she said, hey, this position's opening up in my agency, and this was Spotsylvania at the time. She said, I think you'd be a really good fit, you're really good with people, and I think you should apply for it. And I said, you're really crazy, because I know nothing about social services. Well, I did apply for it, and I did get it, and it was for a family educator. And from there, it just took off. My love of working with people took off. I worked in many capacities in the agency, but my real love was working on resources for people. I did start off in the family services field as a family services worker, CPS, in-home. But what I found was working with families and seeing how much they have to do, nobody really helps them with the resources side. So I said, you know, maybe I should go into the program coordination side of it. So from there, I flipped over to the program coordination side. In going to that, I realized, you know what? The kids really need help. Looking at the foster care numbers rise and rise and rise and rise. What's going on with that? So from there, I'm in the foster care side, and the numbers still continue to rise. Kids are our biggest asset. We have to work for the children. So now I work on the program side for the children in foster care, and the greatest need we have is foster parents. We don't want to take children in, but it is a necessary evil, and we need foster parents desperately. So now I sit on the program side for foster care.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Jackie, let me ask you, what does it mean when, because you've seen all this, and what does it mean when social workers and foster parents are supported and versus not?
So that is the biggest thing. When foster parents don't feel supported, it breaks the family. If a foster parent doesn't feel supported, they no longer want to work with an agency or whoever they're working with. It's very frustrating. It breaks them because they want to help so bad, but they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. If they don't have that support from the agency, it's very difficult. These kids come with a lot of trauma, and they need somewhere to turn. They need support.
Yeah.
And they need to be able to have that communication with the worker, with the agency. So it's so very important to have support from their church, from their worker, from resources. So it's very important.
And a social worker, how does the support help them?
So foster parents will have a caseworker. So when we say social work, so not a lot of people know this, but you can't be called a social worker unless you have your master's degree. And this has only come about in the last 10 years. So you'll hear the term family services worker because that worker doesn't have their master's degree, but they've got the same background as a social worker. The term social worker can only be used if that worker has their master's degree. But we've got the same background. We've gone through the same college as a social worker, except that they've gone on to get their master's degree. And a lot of times we've got exactly the same experience, if not more, as the social worker. It's just that they've gone on to get their master's degree. So when foster parents do have children assigned to them, they will work with a caseworker throughout their case. That social worker or family services worker will be there or should be there for them every step of the way to guide them through this process with these children.
Yeah, excellent. And wanted to ask as y'all, how is it supporting them and your opportunities to share the gospel in supporting the parents and the social workers?
I mean, as far as just opportunities to share the gospel, I think maybe Josh has some like experiences with that. But I want to go back to scripture and just think about even like our mandate to be involved in this. My mind goes to James 1:27, which we're pretty much all familiar with, which talks about pure religion before God is caring for the widows and the orphans. And I know we don't use that word orphans much in the U.S. context, but essentially we're dealing with kids who, for one reason or another, their parents are not able to provide that stable, safe space for them right now. And so they need families that are willing to step in and be able to stand in the gap. And so beyond that whole, you know, God told us to do it, I think for me, just foster care is so compelling because it's connected to so many other ministries. And so it's always interesting to me when I'm meeting with church leaders and they're talking about, oh, you know, we'd love to do foster care, but we're really focused on, you know, our prison ministry or our homeless ministry or our human trafficking initiative that we just started. And I'm like, wow, like, do they not know the connection? You know, I think as far as like statistics, 87% of our young men who age out of foster care will end up incarcerated. 50% of kids and youth that are in foster care will at some point experience homelessness. Like 60% of child trafficking victims are connected to the child welfare system. And if we have a church who has a heart for sharing the gospel and reaching their community, it's really hard to serve vulnerable families and not rub shoulders with the foster care system. And so I think that's one reason why we're so passionate about showing the love of Christ to this population, because it affects so many other populations as well.
Yeah, excellent. Cool.
To kind of answer a little bit more of that, because I can speak at it from both the foster parent side of things as well as supporting the youth that have aged out. We actually had a foster daughter. She's 18 going on 19 now. She did age out, but we still remain in touch with her. But while she was in our care, through many nights of ongoing conversations and just relationship, the gospel was able to be preached through that. And not only was it that she was able to hear it, but she was able to also see it lived out. But we also were able to go through life with her, similar to how Jesus did life with his disciples. And so we had that ongoing relationship, and eventually she did come to faith in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that's where it stops, right? That's the beginning of new life, new birth in Christ. But we're still continuing that with her. And through our program, Don't Go Alone, we have seen youth come to know Jesus. They've come to believe in him. But that's because we've had Christians step in to their world, meet them where they are, not with any agenda of only trying to preach the gospel, but also trying to get to know them for who they are and meet them where they are and love on them and show them that. So it's an opportunity for that. But like my wife said, that this bleeds into different areas. This bleeds into homeless, prison, teens getting pregnant out of wedlock, whatever it may be. It bleeds into different ministries that we care about. And this isn't just work as a result of what they've gone through, but this is also preventative work for youth and their children. We have a lot of the youth that are single mothers or their parents just trying to do better for themselves, and they don't have anyone that they can turn to help them learn what it is to love their children in a healthy way, because they've never had that model for them. So if you step into their world, you can show them Jesus, but you can also improve their quality of life because you can give them those things that they lacked. So this is preventative work for their children because it's a cycle.
Yeah.
And so we want to cut that. And we want to show them Jesus, and this is the opportunity for the church to do that.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. So they both have a table out there. Would love for you guys to get more information and just hear the different things that you can get involved in. Can I pray for y'all real quick?
Hey, Pastor Brandon here again. Thanks for listening to our Go Time podcast. Here's what I want to invite you to do. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube at ImpactFXBG or our website, ImpactFXBG.church. If something we talked about sparked an interest in you, we would love to hear from you. You can email hello@ImpactFXBG.church. Until next time, let's keep living the dream.